76.
Arm's length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. We're in the second hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. I'm chatting right now, as promised, with Roger Wiegand. Got him back in the studio, kicking and screaming. And I've also got Marshall Barrell with us. Marshall is the co-portfolio manager and co-founder of the very, very successful five-star rated by Morningstar Encompass Fund. Roger and I were talking in the last segment about the interrelationship between political events and financial conditions. We came to the conclusion, as we always do, that the best place to be given the current environment right now is in hard asset and hard asset-related investments. And we promised we'd come back this hour and talk about what we think are good ways to take advantage of that particular sector of the investment community. Now, I have to say, please don't construe this as being investment advice, you folks out there, because it's not. We're just telling you what we're doing. First of all, what Big Al does, purely and simply, is Al and Kathy buy physical silver. We buy it on a regular basis. Part of it we take delivery of, and part of it is stored, okay? I am also very, very active as an investor in the hard asset sector of the stock market. I buy and sell gold and silver mining shares constantly, and I'm always very, very forthright with our listeners as to what companies I own if I'm discussing them, and what companies I don't own if I'm discussing them. Marsh, what do you think the prudent person should do if he or she decides to get involved in this sector of the investment world?
They should be invested in hard assets, in the various types of hard assets. And when we think of hard assets, we're primarily thinking of assets that are in or on the ground. Real estate is considered a hard asset. The precious metals, gold and silver, certainly are. There are other commodities of various metals types, copper, uranium, gas, natural gas, oil, are all considered hard assets because they're something real. They're something that don't go away. They're something that don't dissipate until and unless you mine them or extract them from the earth. At the Encompass Fund, which is a mutual fund that I co-manage, as you mentioned, we have believed for several years that being invested in various forms, various types of hard assets makes a lot of sense because of inflation, the dollar, geopolitical concerns, a number of factors. Having said that, at the Encompass Fund, we invest through the purchase of common stocks, you know, ownership interests in companies, gold and silver and various other commodities. People that are considering investing in hard assets certainly can utilize common stocks. They can utilize mutual funds that invest in various types of hard assets. In the real estate arena, you can do it directly, but then you have management problems and a lot of other issues. You can also do it through investment in real estate investment trusts, which are trade-like stocks, R stocks, REITs. You can make the investments through the exchange-traded funds, ETFs, that are invested in the physical metal. Mm-hmm. Some people don't want to actually take control of the gold or the silver, the bars or the coins. They can invest in an ETF like the Spider Gold Trust or the iShares Silver and have an ownership interest in the physical metal that's stored in vaults in various parts of the world. There are different ETFs that store their metal in different places. You can do it through futures and options. That is not something we do at the Encompass Fund because there's a lot more risk involved in futures and options, and they have a limited time frame. It may be a short one, it may be a long one, but there is a limited time frame that the futures or the options are going to expire, and we're investing in hard assets for the longer term, and we don't know what that time frame is. So there are various ways to do it, and you've mentioned some, and I've mentioned some additional ways that people can be invested in hard assets through different vehicles.
Roger, let's talk a little bit about futures and options, because that's kind of one of your bailiwicks, right?
That's pretty much what I do for myself and for some of my traders who read our newsletter and follow our auto trade system with our futures and commodities broker. Some of the readers do go on the auto trade program. The way that works is when I find a trade and I work it out with my broker as to what I want, and we get it priced properly. Usually what we do is we buy future spreads. We buy one, sell one. We're buying a window of opportunity. Typically, they go out from 3 to 6 months. Just today, we sent an alert on both gold and silver because we have some positions that are maturing to the top where we want them, and we're about to exit those. So that's one common way we do it. What I also encourage people to do is to buy physical first. I think they, on the first 100,000 of an account, they should buy at least 10% American and Canadian coins, either in gold and silver. Some of the larger accounts, and by that I'm saying, you know, 500,000 and up, that would be too much to hold personally. So we suggest that they go to some of the places like goldmoney.com, and there's some other ones too. You can go to the Canadian CEF, and there's another one in Australia, I believe. So there's a variety of ways to do this, and I prefer futures because I don't have to spend a lot of time fiddling with it. I've got my broker watching my back, and more importantly, since about 90% of my letter has to do with companies and shares, I don't want to own those shares when I'm trading them myself. So they're not, I don't do any share trading specifically. Periodically, I cry when I can't buy a position. That's just the way I do my plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next thing is that junior shares, as you know, Al, are probably a faster vehicle in many respects with a little more risk. They are speculative, but the majority of the big upside is usually found in junior shares, not always, but usually. Another thing is you go to senior companies, you've got a slower climb up the hill on the long side. But in addition to that, if you want to be a share trader only and you want something a little faster for trading, you can buy call options.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to be purchased selectively. You've got to know your times. You got to know your prices. You got to be careful with it. We did a lot of that back in 2006. We had a pretty good run for about a year and a half. The market shifted. We put it down for a while, but we've reopened lately with great success.
Okay.
So that's available as well.
I certainly agree with Roger that the use of options and futures work well for some people. Some people as a vehicle for investment.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be recognized that there is greater risk, greater volatility, certainly with options and futures, and that there is a time limit, and you do need to pay you or your broker, or working in concert with professional advisor,
mm-hmm.
do need to work in concert to watch that aspect.
Sure.
There's certainly one vehicle. One comment that Roger made, I would comment on, and that's when he talks about the junior mining companies being speculative. In one sense, they are speculative. There's more volatility.
Mm-hmm.
They're generally lower priced. So that leads to what's considered to be speculative. But if you're investing in a company that has established through drilling and through various other methods and has out a Canadian national document, 43-101, which
mm-hmm.
is the
yeah.
regulation
mm-hmm.
That governs how you put out reports, and they say that they have a million or 5 or 10 or 20 million ounces of gold in the ground from what they have drilled and discovered so far, or silver or copper. That material's in the ground and it's not going anywhere. It can be argued that that's really not speculative in and of itself. What the market does with the price of that stock is going to be more speculative and dependent on what the market perceives as the value of that company. But if the gold or silver markets go down, that material is still in the ground to be mined, presumably at some point in the future.
And there you have it. That's a very important point to realize. Listen, if you guys have any questions for either Marshall Barrow or Roger Wiegun, go to our blog. I will get them to them. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Clyde Harrison.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy from AffinityC-Energy.com. Sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, you're listening to the second hour of the Corlin Economics Report. I want to respond to some of the listener questions that we have received, and I'm doing it with a real expert friend of mine. His name happens to be Clyde Harrison. Let me tell you, this man is absolutely brilliant, and we're going to get him on the show more and more often. Clyde wrote an article for a magazine that's published out of Chicago that has about 2 million readers, and I've asked him if he would respond to some of the comments of some of our listeners back towards the end of March made about a segment that we did on the Obama energy policy? Question mark. Har, for example, wrote in. He said, the reason we kissed the Middle East ass is because we found out our oil wells were coming up dry holes in the 1940s. Alaska has major earthquakes. Drilling for oil in a couple of miles deep and earthquakes are not a good mix. Clyde, comments?
Okay. You have earthquakes in Alaska, this is for sure. Probably near the coastline, we shouldn't be drilling. And ANWA, we should punch holes in the ground. Like I said in my article, ANWA is twice the size of the state of Nebraska. The area they want to drill on is twice the size of Disney land. Mm-hmm. Not Disney World, Disneyland in California.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see it in a satellite photo. And yet we don't want 12 caribou to change their address so we can get 90 billion barrels of oil that's supposed to be there.
You know, Clyde, another one of our listeners, Karen, had some interesting comments on that energy segment that we did. For example, she talked about how the president, President Obama, has put a moratorium on drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. She says everyone is drilling in the Gulf except the United States. If you remember, he, that being President Obama, even went against a court order to release this moratorium. Wake up, America.
Well, you got Petrobras has been given a drilling permit in the Gulf of Mexico. You have China in conjunction with Cuba drilling just off the Gulf of Mexico. They're a lot smarter than we are.
Mark also sent in some interesting comments. And, boy, I got to tell you, when it comes to energy, I'm just a real dunderhead, so I've got to rely on someone like yourself. But Mark says, quote, efforts to drill our way out of energy dependency are totally doomed. The reason we are drilling in 2 miles of seawater at all or accepting extremely dirty tar sands oil from Canada is because the low-hanging fruit in North America is exhausted. Guys, it's called peak oil. Comments on that one?
Yeah, there is no peak oil. God gave us enough energy till Revelations. The costs may change dramatically in the next number of years, but as I said in the article, Canada has 170 billion barrels of proven reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Saudi has 270 billion, and we have 800 billion.
Yeah.
But we can't drill in any of them. West Coast, East Coast, Gulf.
It's interesting.
This is self-inflicted stupidity.
It's really interesting that that is going on right now. You know, I mean, I don't want to get into politics, but, you know, Karen makes it pretty clear in her mind that there is a definite agenda here, and the agenda in terms of energy really doesn't seem to be beneficial for our country. Now, I don't know if I completely agree with that, only, and I guess primarily, Clyde, because I don't want to believe it, man. You think I'm nuts?
Yeah, I think you're nuts. You've got a policy that we're, thanks to General Electric being Obama's best friend,
mm-hmm.
We're building windmills. And we build solar panels. They're about three times the cost per kilowatt that natural gas, nuclear, or coal generation is.
Mm-hmm.
But he said during the campaign he wanted energy prices to triple so we quit using so much of it. His energy guy has said it more than once since then. In fact, recently, within a few months.
I've never understood the energy policy of the United States. I've never understood why we import. I believe the number is about 60% of our oil. You know, Mark brings up an interesting point, and if he's correct, well, then I guess I would understand it. But from what you're saying and from what other friends of mine, colleagues of mine, friends of mine have said, our policy is just really, really silly. Now, it strikes me that the solution, the short-term solution to our problem, is natural gas. We've got a ton of natural gas assets. I mean, is that in your mind a viable solution, Clyde?
It's a huge, unbelievable solution. T-Boone Pickens has proved mathematically that if we went natural gas for our long-haul trucks, we wouldn't import any more crude.
Yeah.
The policies that we have are self-destructive coming out of Washington, and that's across the board. Energy is just one example.
Now, I know that in Canada, you know, Big Al spends an awful lot of time up in Canada, and I know there natural gas, propane, you know, is a very, very common fuel for public transportation, number one. Now, here I'm talking about buses. It's a very common fuel for taxi cabs. And yet, in terms of the automobile industry for the everyday consumer, people like Clyde Harrison and Al Corlin, it's kind of a non-event up there, too. I wonder why.
The reason is you don't have the infrastructure to distribute it for automobiles.
Well, I've heard that before, and that really is a pretty good point. Now, what do you think about? I had another listener who sent me an email saying the solution to the energy problem vis-a-vis the automobile industry is the electrification of the automobile industry. What do you think about that?
Where are you going to get the juice?
Well, I mean, where are you going to get the juice?
We don't have the plants to generate the electricity. If everybody switched to an automobile, they'd all be sitting in the driveway with nowhere to go because they couldn't fuel them.
Well, it would, but I wouldn't put that in the category of a short-term solution, because with the retooling, et cetera, that would have to go on, that would definitely not fall in the category of being short-term. But a long-term solution, something like that, strikes me as, I mean, I don't know. And again, these are just common sense questions coming from me. In the long term, do you think that's a solution?
I think it's part of the solution.
Yeah.
But we've got to build nuclear plants in safe places. Nuclear has been proven safe in a lot of, many, many countries.
Right.
But they don't build them on an earthquake zone. We've got one out in California sitting on an earthquake zone. You've got the Ring of Fire very active.
Yeah.
You had the moon, the closest in 18 years to the United States, changing gravitational pull, and you started having earthquakes all around the Ring of Fire. This wasn't a surprise to anybody who studies astrophysics.
Yeah.
But that Ring of Fire, it still hasn't shifted. You know, you've got all the pressure that supposedly was released in Japan, let's say, with a 9-point-something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that Ring of Fire then comes on around to Alaska and then California.
Mm-hmm.
And that pressure will probably be released in the next number of years.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I listened to a couple of interviews from two of the ladies, federal politicians from California, and they were asked the question of how do you feel about the safety factor of your nuclear power plants in your state in light of what's happened in Japan. And both of them said, you know, well, we have inspected, blah, 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 and we are very, very comfortable that everything is okay there. But, of course, you have to keep an eye on that. And I guess that's their answer. Mr. Harrison, thank you so much. Hey, stick around, you guys. Big Al's going to be right back with Congressman Ron Paul.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
If you own a septic system, or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems, and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendivite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in. I want to say that my next guest, Congressman Ron Paul, is, in my humble opinion, and I know a lot of your opinions, one of the greatest living American patriots. He's done more to increase the awareness of people, not just in the United States, but around the world, about the positive aspects of our country, and also about the things that really need to be changed. He's one of the few politicians whose actions are definitely not directed toward getting reelected, but to making the United States a better place. You know, in spite of the fact that the congressman's actions aren't directed towards getting reelected, nobody can get him out of office. Congressman, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to chat with our listeners.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Okay, got a question. I personally believe that there is a very strong correlation between political activities, both internationally and in the United States, and the direction of the financial markets. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I think the financial markets are a good technique of knowing what's going on. A lot of times if I get up in the morning and I look at the financial markets and they discount world events rather quickly, you know, I think the financial markets discount political affairs around the world instantaneously. So you can actually get the news by watching the Dow Jones and the interest rates.
You know, I would agree with that 100%. Well, let's talk a little bit about that in the United States. You know, we have a situation here that I think is literally almost despicable. I'm talking right now about the complete inability of both sides of the aisle to agree on a budget proposal or to agree on a budget. And, you know, and the thing has gotten to be, in my opinion, totally, totally out of hand emotionally. I mean, on the one hand, you now have Nancy Pelosi saying the GOP plan is a war on women. You have many Democrats saying that, you know, the shutdown is the equivalent of bombing innocent civilians, and Jesse Jackson's comparing it to a civil war. Come on, isn't that a little bit crazy?
Yeah, and You know, I have a little book coming out shortly, and I have one short chapter on demagogues. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're talking about is demagoguery. You know, they use these terms and they blast people and pick up little things. It's for political benefit. It has nothing to do with solving problems. So they demagogue the issues and take it and they try to, no matter how serious you are and how sincere you are trying to solve problems, you know, I might be for the gold standard. Why do you hate poor people? You know, things like that. So, yes, you've described the problems quite accurately, and unfortunately that's what most people are doing there. I think the demagoguery is motivated by power. They first want power, but they rationalize, and they finally come around to thinking that, well, if I'm in power and I do the right things and compromise the right way, I will do good for the country. So they don't see themselves as doing evil, because they see themselves as you know, not Puritans, because they know they have to compromise, but ultimately the driving force is power, and once the power is the driving force, they sell out rather quickly any principle that they might have.
You know, I learned a long time ago that one of the most dangerous aspects of human nature is when people start to believe that everything that they're doing is the result of the fact that, you know, that they are, in fact, the prettiest baby in the nursery. And I wonder sometimes if a lot of politicians don't really fall into that category. You know, they assume a role of tremendous power in the United States, you know, and they kind of view that as being the ultimate blessing, and consequently they really can't do anything wrong. I cannot believe that some of the actions of some of our politicians don't stem from that. I mean, I'm hearing some absolutely ridiculous things coming out of the mouths of some of the folks, I mean, not only in Washington, D.C., but even on the state level. Any comments on that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, and you have different types. You know, the liberal tends to think that everybody's an idiot, they can't take care of themselves, and they won't take care of themselves, and they want to take care of them. And I had one liberal tell me once when I was challenging on this, he says, you know, we need to do this because the people are stupid, you know. So that now you talk about arrogance. But then there are others on the social side that, well, we're going to tell you what you can do with your life and your body and what you can eat and drink and all these other kind of things, because you don't know how to take care of yourself. So they only know what's best for other people. But if you know, even with the horrors of the arrogance of the legislature, I think it's that many times worse when it comes to people who think they know what the interest rate should be and what the money supply should be, and that they can do central economic planning. And of course, I'm talking about our good friends at the Federal Reserve.
Sure.
Now that is, and they do believe, you know, they really believe that the markets are incapable. These people, whether it's in the monetary issue or the legislative issues, they don't have an understanding, and they do not have confidence in freedom, so they can't trust it. So therefore, they're necessary. People need them to sort these things out, because you wouldn't want unbridled free markets. I mean, people would suffer so much. There'd be no regulation whatsoever. You know, they use those arguments, so therefore there's a necessity for people to have them take care of them. And then that's always extended to foreign policy as well. You know, the poor slobs around the world who can't take care of themselves, if we only go in there and teach them how to be good Democrats. Did you see the other day that one of the first things they did for the rebels in Libya, I think they had them set up a central bank.
Yeah. You know,
that is just unbelievable.
You know, you made a comment in a discussion that you and I had a couple, 3 years ago, and my comment to you was really a question. My question was, so, Congressman, you're not really for welfare. And I said, you know, I can't agree with you, because I think we'd have rioting in the streets if you cut welfare, you know. And you started laughing, and you said, Corlin, you're not very bright, are you? And I said, okay. And your comment was, don't you have any faith in your fellow man? Don't you think people would rise up and take care of each other? You know, I think that's a thing. If people were left to their own free will, that's a thing that many Americans, I think, and many people around the world forget would happen. We'll take care of ourselves, mm-hmm. right?
The people who need something and need to be taken care of, when you impose it by force through government regulations, you really destroy wealth. So they are the destroyers. If you allow people to assume and are forced to assume responsibility, then they do it through productive effort. And history has shown that the freer society, the wealthier the society, the bigger the middle class, and, you know, and it is only when the government gets too big and too large and they do too much monetary manipulation do you wipe out the middle class and do you create the welfare needs. So what are the people who are the bleeding hearts? They say, well, we haven't given the poor enough, so then they start printing more money and handing it out. But lo and behold, the welfare system benefits the rich. You know, they pump all this money in there to save the economy. Mm-hmm. All it did was raise prices for the poor, and I guess a few people made some money on Wall Street, even in the last couple of years, like billions of dollars.
Like billions,
so we're wiping out the middle class, and the people who voted, and it was both sides of the aisle, you know, for TARP funds and endorsed all that bailout, they really thought they were saving humanity, you know, that it was absolutely necessary to do this, and that we who opposed it were totally heartless. So in many ways, we have an educational problem, and that's where I think you and others have done such a good job in trying to get people to understand the fundamentals.
Congressman, I've got about a minute left here in this particular segment, then we'll bring you back in the next one. But I have a question for you. The co-host on my radio show about 5 years ago made a very, very interesting comment, and actually this was a comment in your presence that when we were doing a video with you at one of the conferences. And Paul's comment was, one of the biggest disincentives in the United States is, in fact, welfare. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Yeah.
And our whole country is on welfare because we've been able to print money and spend it and go into debt. So that is the big welfare system. We've become totally dependent, and we've given up on production.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're in such a crisis and why it's coming to an end as well.
It's coming to an end. It's getting nothing but worse. And I personally believe that, I mean, there is a very logical reason that gold is approaching $1,500 an ounce today, or yesterday, I should say, and that silver is over 40 bucks. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Congressman Ron Paul.
Are you paying more than you have to for your home loan?
Discover how to take advantage of the lowest interest rates in decades and put money back in your pocket every month. Hometown Financial has been authorized to offer new mortgage rates that are starting a new refi boom. Rates are in the mid-fours. That means lower interest and lower payments for you. Act now to lock in your low rate for 30 years before rates go up again. You never know when waiting even one day could cost you thousands in interest payments. For a free rate quote to refinance or for first-time homebuyers, call Hometown Financial now at 800-526-5399. Our friendly professionals will help you find the loan that is best fit for you to save the maximum amount of money possible. Discover just how little you could be paying for your home. Call 800-526-5399. That's 800-526-5399. Rates might never be this low again in your lifetime. Don't miss out. Call 800-526-5399.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new Cyclass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing our discussion with an American hero, certainly in my opinion, Congressman Ron Paul. We're going to get into the comments that the press is making right now about gold, silver, U.S. dollar being the currency of last resort, that perhaps changing in the very near future. Let's see what Congressman Paul thinks about that. First of all, comment, if you would, on the direction of gold and silver right now. We are in a bull market both in gold and silver that is almost unprecedented. As we're recording, silver is over $40 an ounce. Gold is approaching $1,500 an ounce. In your opinion, Congressman, why is that happening?
Well, you know, I think of gold as being relatively stable. Mm-hmm. You can store value in gold. It's not rigid, but it's stable. I use the word the gold price is going up just like everybody else does, but I always remind myself it isn't that, and you know it's the dollar going down, mm-hmm. and what kind of a mess we have in Washington. The national debt is going up this year, $2 trillion. There's no way we can borrow that much money. Revenues are going way down because the economy is so weak. What else is left but printing money? So the value of the money has to go down, and it's astounding. A lot of us who worry about this and predict it for a long, many years, it's pretty amazing that when it finally comes, you get, wow, you know, I didn't know it was going to be quite this bad, and how much worse is it going to get? You almost think that I wished we weren't right, about this. But no, it's telling us that it's very, very serious. And quite frankly, I think it's just starting because, remember, gold for a period of time sort of tried to disprove some of our theories, like from 1980 up until 1999 for 20 years, dollar price of gold didn't go up. But I don't think that means there wasn't inflation. The money supply kept increasing, but the psychology of the market was such that they weren't worried enough and they didn't discount it. So right now I think this is sort of a catch-up. And then there's not only the catch-up, but what we're doing currently with QE2 and probably QE3 coming, but also what they expect to happen in the future. Remember, in 1971, there was a lot of catch-up. Gold was artificially held at $35 an ounce. It broke down. The Brentwoods broke down. Gold became legalized, and then there was this huge surge. Probably did some overshooting, but it was catch-up, too. So it isn't like, well, the money supply goes up 10% this year. Gold prices will go up 10%. All prices will go up. That's not the way it works. It works in fits and starts, you know, and I think that's what we're witnessing. But more and more people are getting frightened, and markets very often tend to overshoot. They undershoot and they overshoot, but I don't think they're on the verge of overshooting yet. I think the dollar has a long way down. And then there's also the big concern that I have, and what drives me and motivates me, is the fact that ultimately you can send the currency to zero. Now that is big trouble. We could do that to ourselves if we don't wise up.
You know, I think it's a very, very interesting point, you know, that's just kind of more gasoline on the fire, that for lack of better terms, of this the financial turmoil that we're in right now. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I know how we got there, but I sure don't understand the rationale behind it. You know, I have another interesting question along these lines for you. About 3 or 4 years ago, the Chinese government began, mainland China, the government began encouraging gold and silver as a medium of savings for its citizens. About a year later, lo and behold, surprise, surprise, China became the world's, or assumed the status of the world's largest gold producer. Okay. Shortly after that, China began talking about the need for the currency of last resort changing from the U.S. dollar to something else, okay, perhaps some type of basket or whatever, but that the currency of last resort be an asset-based currency, for lack of better terms, and there was talk about that being gold. I find that to be very, very interesting, given the fact that today China is the world's largest producer of gold, and they could be, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but they're also one of the largest importers of gold. What's that all about?
We're still, at least theoretically, our numbers that we report, that we hold a lot more gold than anybody else, and it's 2 or 3 times more than Germany, and China's down. But it's also pretty well recognized that we probably have less than we claim, and China probably has a lot more than they list. Because, like you say, they mine, and I think they buy everything from their miners. Everything they mine, they keep. And also, they have been known to, you know, when the IMF and other banks dump, remember a few years ago the central banks were so wise that they were dumping gold when it was $300, $400, and $500 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
And countries like India and China and others were actually buying it. But this is the shift from the West to the East. The West is economically dying. And there's more capitalism coming out of the Far East, and even out of China. Nobody wants to say they're capitalists, and they have a lot of problems. But you know, you can invest over there. You can build a business. You can make profits. You don't have the burdens that you have in the United States for starting a business. And they may well devise the world currency rather than the IMF or reviving the dollar. We're incapable of getting our house in order and, you know, to restore the dollar as the number one currency. So somebody in the Far East, maybe the Japanese and the Chinese and the Indonesians or somebody will get together. But I think the world will eventually go. They have throughout history, they always have to resort to something of value, and they give up on the paper. So, yes, I think they may very well be on to something, and they're doing some pretty good planning. We're foolish enough. We spend all this money, and we have the military power, so we think we can throw our weight around and protect and get our oil by invading these countries. China, they work, save their money, take their money, and they invest. So they're investing in places like Iran and different places. So they're taking care of themselves, but they're doing it through peaceful means, where we're doing it through militarism and at the same time undermining our currency.
I think it's absolutely amazing what's going on right now with our involvement, you know, first in Iraq, and you and I discussed that way back when. My comment to you was, Congressman, what are we doing over there? And again, you made the comment, you're not very bright, Corbin. Come on, it's all about oil. And I said, well, you know, you're probably right. But then, you know, we go into the meaningful involvement that's happening right now in Libya. I think probably the next step may very well be doing something in some of the other countries over there, perhaps Syria, et cetera. I mean, that's just a powder keg waiting to take off. But your philosophy is a little bit different from most politicians in that you're saying, we need to get out of there. And you know, and one of the things that we need to do is we need to suspend a lot of our foreign aid. You know, it's the proverbial hole in the ocean that you're pouring dollar bills into that you're never going to get back.
My position is slightly different than that, and maybe too radical for some people, because I don't want to get rid of a lot of foreign aid. I want to get rid of all of it.
Yeah.
Because if you get rid of a lot of it or most of it or something, then you always hold out for a loophole and say, oh, okay, but then under special circumstances, we have to do it. Then the argument gets back to, well, if you do it for this country, why not this country?
Right.
You like this country, but you don't like the other. Just take the principle that our government does not have the right and authority constitutionally or morally to take money from people in this country and give it to other countries.
Right.
But if we have a free and prosperous country and you happen to have a special interest in another country, There should be no reason why you can't take your funds and spend them and go there or do whatever you want. So that is a form of foreign aid that I don't think is bad at all. In fact, it's very good. But once the government gets into it, my claim about foreign aid is, for the most part, is taking money from poor people in rich countries and giving the money to rich people in poor countries. And we take money here, and the bleeding hearts here think, oh, well, we got to send these to these African countries and help these poor people.
Yeah.
But, you know, we send them food and money, and the warlords take it, and they use them as weapons, and it never solves their problem.
You know, it's interesting. I have a friend who I collaborate with frequently, and he's about as liberal as you're going to get. And I mentioned to him your comment about suspending foreign aid at one time, and he said, I have to totally agree with Congressman Paul on that one, because he said all that money's getting totally, totally misdirected. Any plans at all for 2012?
Oh, I have lots of plans for 2012.
Proving your golf.
I'm not so sure exactly which ones. And as far as campaigning goes for another office, I have not made that decision, but
okay.
I do know that shortly I will be. In the next month or two, I'll have to make some decision. I was sort of pleased that the other potential candidates have decided not to announce early.
Right.
Last go around it was a long, long drawn out effort, but you know, I felt like we accomplished actually more than I believed we would.
Yep.
So this go around, if I do it, it'll be a little bit shorter and hopefully beneficial, and it'll be very serious if we do decide to.
Well, listen, you've got all the support that I can possibly give on that. Congressman Ron Paul, it has been a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.